judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist, and please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please be with us as we enter into your word. Bless everyone listening and help them to understand the value of these things that are being said. In Jesus' holy name we pray, with thanksgiving unto thee. Amen. Well, today we want to talk about Yahweh. About Yahweh. And this is what our discussion is about. About Yahweh. And we know that truths from the Bible are supposed to enter into a person's conscious mind. It is supposed to be planted in a person's unconscious mind or memory bank, and those truths there are supposed to be like information to determine how the person operates and how the person lives. Those truths there are supposed to be the knowledge, the light, the understanding that God gives to a person to ensure that the person is sin-free and that the person exalts God to be God alone. So the reason why we are talking about Yahweh is because we think people need to understand something very important. Today we are told that there are many gods all over the world. Each religion have their God. Some call him Krishna, some call him Allah, some call him Jehovah, some call him the Pope. They have different names for their gods. But we need to find out the true God and his name. Does he tell us who he is? Does he give us his actual name? And what does he tell us about himself? Now, these are the things we are going to be looking at as we enter into this study here. So we start off with Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 8. And hear what we are being told. I quote, "I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." End of quote. Did you see that? So clearly, Yahweh says his name is Yahweh. He says, "That is my name." Now, when Isaiah wrote this, it was all about 800 years before Christ. So about 800 to 700 years before Christ, God had already said his name was Yahweh. He says, "That is my name." So anybody who could come in the 7th century after Christ in Saudi Arabia and give a new name, they got to be wrong. Because God had already said about 800 years before Christ that his name was Yahweh. He said, "I am Yahweh, that is my name." And he does not share his glory with graven images, which means to say he has nothing to do with graven images and false gods. Yes, my dear people. But we need to go back even before that. We need to go back even long before that. We go to Exodus chapter 6 and we read verse 2 and verse 3. as we read verse 2 and verse 3, here is what we are told. I quote, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh." Did you see that? So in your King James Version, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the word is in effect Yahweh. That is translated that way. If you see Jehovah written, the actual word is Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. And notice what he said. "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, or God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them." End of quote. Did you see that? Now, it is not to say that the word Yahweh wasn't used way back in the time of Abraham, which was about 1,920-something years before Christ. Look how way back, about 1,900-something years, almost 2,000 years before Christ. But he said his name was known as El Shaddai to them. He appeared to them with the name El Shaddai, or God Almighty. That's how he appeared to them. But he said, "By my name Yahweh was I not known to them." What is he saying? He is saying, even though they knew me as El Shaddai, my name was really Yahweh, although they didn't know me by that name. Yes, my dear people. So it goes back to 1,900 and change before Christ. His name was still Yahweh. So when we go back that nations are primitive in those days, and when we go back to all those primitive era of nations now being formed and nations now spreading, we must remember one important thing. The name of the true God was Yahweh, although he was known as El Shaddai. Yes, my dear people. And so, that's why we say nobody can come in the 7th century after Christ and bring a new name and say, that is God. Because even long before, even though Abraham knew him as El Shaddai, his real name was always Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. Did you see that? And this is the important point we need to get into consideration. Now, when we go now and we look at Exodus chapter 3 and we read from verse 14 to verse 15 and then verse 16, we have an interesting scenario here. We see very clearly this is the time God is speaking to Moses. And this is about 1,540-something years before Christ. Notice how long ago? 1,540-something years before Christ. Some people put the date at 1,400-something years before Christ. Okay, whether you want to say it's 1,500 or 1,400. The important thing is, look how way back. Look how far back. And during that far period back, God is addressing Moses and telling Moses something. The children of Israel, Jacob's sons, have multiplied in Egypt in the land of Goshen. And God has sent Moses to call them out, to form a nation out of them. But then Moses is asking God, who will I say sent me unto them? Who will I say? And God has an interesting answer for him. Let us look at what this tells us in Exodus chapter 3, and we start with verse 14. And let's go a little higher up for a little context. Verse 13. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" End of quote. Now, what does this verse 13, show us? In ancient Egypt, a name meant plenty with regards to a god. The Egyptian gods had different names, and those names meant a lot to them. There was Amun, whose name meant "an I am." This I am. And so, this Amun, whose name was I am, was a sun god. And then you had Ra, who was the same god, but he is also a sun god. And then you had Horus. Then you had Nut. And a whole host of other gods. The ancient Egyptians believed that the names of God had power in them. And Israel, growing up in an Egyptian background, thought that it was important to understand the name of God. So they obviously would ask for his name. Now here is what God told Moses to tell Israel. I quote, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. End of quote. Did you hear that? Now why did he say, I am that I am? The word that there means particular, peculiar. So in other words, I am that particular, that peculiar I am, that special I am, that particular I am. And that is what he was saying. And that was in contrast to the other gods, the gods of the Egyptians. But the word I am meant the self-existing one. The self-existing one. So that's why he identified himself as I am. You see, everything else depended on God. But God doesn't depend on anyone to exist. He is the self-existing one. And so he said, I am that I am. And thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Yes, my dear people. But this I am was just the meaning of the real name that was about to be given. Yes, my dear people. For the first time, the name of God was going to be given to the Israelites. And God gave them the phrase, I am, to interpret the name. Because the name Yahweh would be, I am, the self-existing one. If we look at verse 15, here is what we are told. I quote, and God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. End of quote. Did you see that? Did you see that? So what we are being told here, for the first time, Israel is given the name of God. And what are they told? They are told the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So they are being carried back to the past, about 1,900 years before Christ. And we're being told the God of those illustrious holy people. Their God, his name was really Yahweh. That's what he's saying. So that is why he's saying in verse 15, and God said, moreover, unto the children of Israel, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers. Notice what he called himself, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob had sent me unto you. So he actually tells them, Jacob's God, Isaac's God, Abraham's God was Yahweh. That's what he tells them. Yes, my dear people. And not just only did he tell them that. He said, this is my name forever. So notice again, 1,500 years before Christ, Yahweh tells Moses to tell Israel his name was always Yahweh, and it will always be Yahweh. This is why he says, this is my name forever. That's why no journey come lately. Nobody could come in the 7th century in Arabia with a new name and say that's the name of God. Because God already said 1,900 years, 1,500 years before, his name forever was Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. But he didn't only stop there. He says, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. End of quote. So why does he say memorial unto all generations? Because all generations are to remember him by this name, Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. This is the reason why. So aren't we in a generation today? In 2015? Of course we are in a generation today in 2015. Was we in a generation in the year 200 after Christ's birth? Of course we was in a generation by that time. Were we in a generation by 600 before Christ? Of course. Were we in a generation 600 years after Christ? Yes. So what was his name even in those generations? Yahweh forever. And that is what you were to remember him by. Therefore, nobody could come calling themselves a prophet later on and give a new name and overlook the original name that was given, which is Yahweh. And this is why the true God of the earth, the true original God, forgetting all the divergences and all the apostasies and all the false gods, the true original God of the earth, his name was always the one and only Yahweh. Yes, my dear people, this is what we are being told. And then we go down to verse 16. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yahweh, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. End of quote. Did you see that? So we are actually being told his name is none other but Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. So somebody may come later on and give you another name. They come later on and they come with some new name. Today the Jews call him Hashem. The word Hashem just means the name. Ha, the, and Shem, name. Hashem just means the name. But he didn't say his name was Hashem. He said his name was Yahweh. And he says that is his memorial name unto all generations. Yes, my dear people. This is why when we look at Hosea chapter 12 and we go to verse 5, now you have to understand very clearly who Hosea was speaking to. There came a time when the whole 12 tribes of Israel as a nation was divided into two nations. Two of the tribes were called later Judah, and the other 10 of those tribes retained the name Israel. So you're talking about the 10 tribes of Israel. Now the 10 tribes of Israel had apostatized very early and turned away very early. So what did God do? God clearly showed them who he was, as he sought to reinstitute his worship back among them. And he used Hosea to do that. And here is Hosea speaking in chapter 12, in verse 5, and here is the message we get from this statement. I quote, even Yahweh, God of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. Did you see that? It says, even Yahweh, God of hosts, the one who is in charge of all the holy angels, we are told his memorial is Yahweh. What does that mean? You remember him by the name Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. You remember him by the name Yahweh. That's the fact. And that's what people need to understand. And that's why nobody coming in the 6th century after Christ could come with a new name and tell us that that name is the name of God. Absolutely not. It can't be so. And don't come and tell us, well, whether you're saying this name or Yahweh, it all means the same. No. Because Yahweh gives the sign of his difference to all other gods. And not just only that. He says his memorial unto all generations. So you can't come with another name. You have to stick with the name Yahweh, because that's his memorial unto all generations. That's what he said. Yes, my dear people. And furthermore, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 4, and we find a very important thing here. Some people says, well, monotheism is the thing. Mono meaning one, theism meaning God. So monotheism means the concept of one God. But you have to understand what your Bible teaches is Yahwehistic monotheism. That's the doctrine of the Bible. Monotheistic Yahwehism or Yahwehistic monotheism, however you want to call it. That's what your Bible teach. Your Bible teach that the one God is Yahweh. The monotheism that the Bible teaches is not other gods or any other name. It is Yahweh theism. Yahweh theism. Yahweh as the one and true God. Yes, my dear people. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4. I quote, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh." End of quote. Did you see that? The Hebrew word ikad, meaning one, number one, number two, number three. You have different numbers. Well, the number one there is ikad. And what we're being told, Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. And this is what your Bible teaches. Your Bible teaches monotheistic Yahwehism or Yahwehistic monotheism. That's what your Bible teaches. Yes, my dear people. Furthermore, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and we look at verse 35. Here is what we are told. I quote, "Unto thee," notice this, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. The word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. Just before Moses was to die, he repeated the history of the 40 years he had with Israel in the wilderness, starting with from the point that God took them out of Egyptian bondage. And he's refreshing them with important truths 40 years later. What did he say? In verse 40, in verse 39 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, and in verse 35 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, he tells them very important points. Let's look at verse 35 first. I quote, "Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that Yahweh, he is God, there is none else beside him." End of quote. Did you hear that? Yahweh, he is God, there is none else beside him. As far as the Bible is concerned, there is none else beside Yahweh. Yahweh is God. He is God. That's what your Bible tells you. There is none else beside him. And this is the reason why it is Yahweh that is the true God. So a person comes in the 7th century or later and gives you a new name. What are you to say? No, that's not God. That's not the true God. If you tell me about the true God, at least give the real name. Identify him by the real name, because we are told that is the true God. At least do that. But no. You have different names now. And those names are names of gods that are entirely foreign to the image and to the nature and to the character of Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. And then when we go down now to verse 39, here is what we are told again. "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart." Notice the seriousness of this statement. "Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that Yahweh, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." End of quote. Did you see that? So in the heaven above and in the earth beneath, we have been told Yahweh, he is God. So he is God in heaven. He is God in earth. So when you take the whole universe into consideration, the point is there is but one true God, and his name originally Yahweh. Some people say, well, how you know the name is Yahweh? How do you find that out? Well, archaeology has even shown us. Because if you look at Sinaitic Hebrew, scripts written on rocks and caves and other places in the Sinai region area where Israel was, the word is Yahu, a short for Yahweh, or the word is sometimes Yah. And that's what they have found in inscriptions And besides that, we can find out in different ways. But we know one thing for sure. The God in heaven above and the God on earth beneath, his name, his one true name, is obviously Yahweh. Yes, my dear people. And what does he say about himself? What does Yahweh say about himself? If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you read verse 39, here is what we are told. I quote, it tells us this. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. End of quote. We'll stop that part there in that verse. There is no God with me. So we know one thing for sure. God doesn't have gods with him. Yes, my dear people. As some people like to say, he doesn't have partners. God doesn't have a God partner. Because God is God alone. And this is true here, as we are told in Deuteronomy. And this is the reason why we are embarking on a study to explain to you, and our study must come to the point to show you where Jesus fits in. Because you need to understand that Jesus is not a partner with God, but he is the authentic God himself. He's not a partner with Yahweh. He is Yahweh himself in a temple of flesh. And those who think it is impossible for Yahweh to dwell in a temple of human flesh, then they shouldn't have him dwelling on a throne. Then they shouldn't have him pervading all of creation. They need to understand that it is not difficult for Yahweh to dwell in a temple of flesh. Because sin and humanity and creation doesn't adversely affect God in the sense of taking away from his divinity. It doesn't destroy his morality in him. So those who teach that need to understand that. So what we are looking at here, we are looking at the fact that Yahweh, he is God. He is the real God, the true God, the only God, the God in heaven and the God in earth. And it is him that we must serve. Yes, my dear people. Now we will continue this discussion next week. And may God bless you until we meet again in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Read broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.